Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with hosts Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm gonna make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Samantha.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Since you're
the closest to motherhood.
I suppose.
Other than our guest for today.
Yes, let's tell everyone who our guest is.
Our guest is my mom, Aileen. Yeah,
hello, everybody.
Welcome back, Aileen.
Thank you for having me.
We are very excited to have you. We have to be sure to say Aileen and Aileen, as usual, so people don't get confused. Sammy, that's all on you.
I mean, I am the one who picks out the same people with the same sounding names, I guess.
That's true.
Line them up.
Yes. Okay, so you're back, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
The audience loved when you came on last time. So we're going to how are you feeling since the last time you were on? How was that for you?
Want to get right into it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was great after last time. I mean, of course, you hear your voice and you're like, oh, my God, you know, it's a little much, but I was good. You know, I really hadn't given it a second thought until recently. As Aileen said, I'd moved. And before you move, you go through all of your life stuff. And I had gone through many photos that I had saved from when I was young. And something rang in my head. I was looking at this picture of myself. I must have been like 4 or 5 going into bed, doing my ballet school or my tap school play or whatever it was. And I'm dressed up as a little Minnie Mouse and I'm chunky. And I remember during the podcast, Aileen had asked me at what point in my life did I feel that I was having issues? And it was a sore subject for me, I think subconsciously, or maybe just because I'm so used to it, I answered her like 16 or 17 was my answer. I was ashamed to say that at 4 or 5 in this picture, I was a chunky kid, you know, and it hit me as I'm going through these pictures. I'm like, why did I lie? Like what, you know, I don't know if it was a lie. I'm going to say it was subconscious and go with that. But questioning myself, I'm thinking I must have been ashamed. You know, it's something I don't think I ever said out loud. You know, I knew in my head that from very young, I was chunky. I was overweight. I had anxiety. I had depression. I mean, at young age. And I guess I was just ashamed to put that out there. So I want to apologize for being dishonest with everybody who listens, that it's all a work in progress, you know, just accepting and admitting to who you've been.
Wow. If it was subconscious, though, like, why do you feel like you need to apologize? Like,
right. I wouldn't say that's dishonest.
Yeah, I feel like you just went to, like, some more therapy and had some more moments that, like, helped you realize there was, like, more to it.
Okay, I'll go with that. I think...
And there's no way you had any self-awareness at age 4 or 5.
No, but when I was telling you the story in 2019 or 18, whatever it was, I'm like, I really hope I have some self-awareness by then, you know? And looking back, subconscious might have been a kind word. It you know, it was there and probably just didn't want to admit it.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like when we're little, though, like maybe we know we're different, like if you're like chubbier, but you don't know really like if it's bad or good. And it just depends. It just depends like how it keeps going in your life. And then when you have like sort of the some maturity to realize why, and that's when it starts happening. But I don't think that like at 4 or 5, you're just like, oh, you know, I have weight problems.
Right. But, you know, again, looking at it, it's a reality. And I right. did. And it just became compounded year after year.
For sure. Because it keeps going. And you're not told like differently.
Until people treat you meanly or until, yeah. you know, somebody says something, you hear a comment somewhere. That's when it becomes yeah. reality. And that's what I always wanted to push away, because who wants to be made fun of, you know? And it food to me has been a real struggle to this moment. I just finished like a, I don't want to tell you, but you know,
what'd you
this
have?
Moment is a sport.
Tell us, what'd you have? I had a cookie.
Oh, you did. I thought of the cookie and instead I actually scrambled an egg, put some avocado on toast and a little bit of that pre-made bacon.
Why is that
what's
bad?
No,
that wasn't bad. Okay. One cookie.
It's that you thought of the cookie.
I thought of the cookie. I turned the cookie away for now.
Well, okay. Something you also said you wanted to talk about, what Avi said to you the other day, and then our subsequent conversation about calorie counting. So yeah. what did you want to say about that? Because you didn't fully flesh that out, but you did say you wanted to mention it.
Yeah, it's a biggie. You know, it's obviously I saw Avi for the first time in like a week, maybe the other night. And he said to me, I mean, you look like you lost some weight. And another trigger point for me, I realized throughout all my ups and downs and all my gains and losses, blah, 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 up until, this is going to sound weird also, up until 2 weight losses ago, if that even makes
sense. No, that's a great way to describe that.
It literally is, because I didn't learn till then that when people say that to me, again, my subconscious, this is really the subconscious, would say to me, would give me like a license to eat, you know? So from that day forward, I would go like, oh, okay, I'll have that cookie instead of, you know, not. I would mm-hmm. make more liberal decisions for myself after somebody would say that. And finally, 2 weight losses ago, I said to myself, wait, this is certainly a pattern, you know, at 60, whatever. Actually it was 50, but at that point it's a pattern. So I took Avi saying that and the recognition, and so far I haven't been awfully horrendous this weekend.
Wow, we're not judging our no, eating anymore. You're right. Remember?
No, you're right. Not to even judge it, but just
why do you think you took those comments as like a license to eat?
It is. Yeah. It real.
Yeah. Why?
Why? That's what my subconscious did to me. It just, you know, I took it in, and like I probably allowed myself that little crack. That's all that it takes of a compliment. And I turned it into a free-for-all, you know, and stopped being conscious of my weight, which I think is what Sam is going to lead into for our next conversation about the calories, right? The calorie thing, because now that I have that knowledge that I do this, I'm also including my bad habits from all the years that I've accumulated, or my good habits that I've had pounded into my head, and I'm using them. Like we were at dinner the other night, and what was I talking about calories? What brought that up?
No, he brought up that he said that he notices that you often talk about the calories in food, or like ways to substitute lower calorie things, or that you'll like categorize foods as like you can't have that, or like you can have it.
Yeah.
But what the direction I was going to take it in is like maybe the reason that that compliment sets you off is because you were trying to lose weight for other people, probably due to like being made fun of at a young age.
There you go. good.
But then also your body knows that, like, your body probably knows that, like, it's, you're going to deprive it again, but, like, maybe it's taking this little time to eat what you can, because it's like a moment of happiness.
That could be a reward, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be.
Well, okay. So the theme of today was actually going to be about, like, how you kind of got your life together at age 60 or about that. So I guess, like, could you tell us about sort of the past 5-ish years for you and how you, like, kind of figured out how to, like, you know, be like an independent adult?
Or what was it that, what, like, for the before part, if you're saying that you got your shit together, or you got your life together.
I have all my shit together. So let's, like, be real.
I think you have your shit together. According significantly to Sammy, more
I am much improved.
Than you ever did.
Yes, I'm much improved.
At what point did you not? And then what triggered you to sort of get to do that or put that as, like, as a goal for yourself?
I mean, the goal has always been there. Who doesn't want to be the best that they could be? You know, then you want to know when it started. It started at that picture, that picture of little chubby Eileen at 4. I had trauma back at 3.
What was at 3?
My brother was born with severe dysautonomia, and he was sick every day of his life. And I mean, we had oxygen tents and all kinds of medical things going on in the house. And I was 4, you know, it was traumatic. I didn't understand it. And that compounded by whatever the next trauma was, which was probably another illness coming around the corner by, you know, from my brother. And it goes on, you know, and then I recognize that I'm chubby at 8. You know, and then I go to camp and I had a bad summer at 9.
At Blue Ridge.
I was like the only, you went to don't Blue Ridge? Tell anyone.
Yeah.
But I didn't let's know not that. Tell anyone. Yeah.
But then she sent me.
And you had a great time. So I was I not wrong. Time. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was, again, circumstantial. The fact that Blue Ridge didn't work for me. It should have worked for me, you know, but it was traumatic. I went with my best friend and stayed in a bunk, and it didn't happen for me. So that was another trauma that added up. Then here's a big one. I had a friend of mine. I'm going to tell the story, Sam. A friend of mine whose father was in the neighborhood. Yeah. I might get killed for that. You might have to, like, erase
She it. Doesn't know.
I know. I'm not.
You're not saying her name. No. Yeah.
So she was a friend of mine in middle school. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. I've never said this to anybody other than
Sam. You said
this
to me.
Other than you. Yeah. And one other person. I've never said this. So anyway, so, you know, I have a group of friends in middle school, and this one friend has a dad who is a big, stocky guy with a huge mouth, like booming, you know, always present, always the one in the room that you have to know that needs the attention. So he had a Rolls Royce, a convertible Rolls Royce, and he used to put us in the back seat and take us through country estates on a ride. So at that point, my last name was Fight. F as in Frank, E-I-T. That's me. I know. I don't know. It's just what I do. And he started calling me. I'm going to say it. I can't believe I'm even going to say it. He called me. It's bad to me. Okay. The name was Fido. To, you know, take off on Fight. And to me, again, being overweight and quite self-conscious, having, this was at like 13, 12,
well, 13. What did Fido mean? I don't
Fido,
think.
Fido to me was in relation to a dog. People used to name their dogs Fido. And that, when he said that, that just set off all kinds of alarm bells in my head. I felt like shit. My self-consciousness rose to like the point of, I don't know where.
Did he treat you a different way on top of that? Like, when you said
he treated everybody like an asshole, you know, he was just an asshole, and everybody knew that, but I felt picked on, you know, here I am.
Jeez. I said,
jeez.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. See, Yeah.
She's like, cheese.
I am hungry.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you the effect that this had on me. And I never verbalized it until recently, 5-6 years ago, maybe. And it was humiliating. And that also changed the course of my life. That was a huge trauma for me, that this family doesn't even know that I felt this. The family's still around, you know, but it's quite traumatic. So that and all the other stuff just leads up to more to get rid of when you eventually get to the point that you want to get rid of it, right?
Right.
You want to come to terms with it.
It feels like cat food has been the same forever. Smelly, boring, made of mystery ingredients. That's why you've got to try Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Make the switch from kibble and give your cat a meal they'll love. We actually sent some to my friend who is fostering kittens, and it is the only thing they will eat. It comes in these pate packages, and you scoop it, and you just feel like you're a chef for your baby kitties, and they j'adore it. Your cute kitty is descended from ferocious desert cats who hunted live prey. Even if your cat prefers to nap all day, they still need fresh, protein-packed meals for a balanced and healthy diet. Other brands fill their food with mysterious meat byproducts, artificial flavoring, and preservatives with names I don't even want to try to pronounce. After switching it up to Smalls, 90% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's major. The team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll completely refund you if your picky cat won't eat their food. Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls. Head to smalls.com/DST and use promo code DST at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code DST for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code DST for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping, baby.
So what's next?
I mean, you have everything between like teenage years and like the past 5 years ago.
Okay.
Let's say.
Okay. So again, more trauma. My son had autism, Sam's brother. There was a lot to work out with that. Remember, she had a brother now who had special needs and I had a brother who had special needs. So we had a lot of things in common, awful things. So again, I don't need to tell you every single thing that happened in my life, but it all added up to a bunch of trauma. And along the way, I always wanted to know why do I react to something in this way as opposed to that way? Why do I let my brain get me crazy, you know, constantly like nagging at me and filling my head with nonsense? So I finally eventually went looking for a good therapist. I had one in Roslyn, but it was just like something to do. That one did not benefit me. But I ended up, as you all know, from my past visits, that I ended up in Florida. And of all places, I found the therapist for me, which is a blessing I could never even tell you. I went on ZocDoc. I put in my insurance. I was like, who takes my insurance? Let's just whittle them down and see. There was one woman nearby in Boca Raton, and I went to her. And this woman saw me for what I was. She saw my needs. She saw my pain. She saw all of it. She was just the right person for me. She had the ability to explain facts to me. Why, if there's a biological reason behind why I'm behaving like this, she would spell it out for me. She was the perfect therapist for me. And I think that's what we all need. You know, we need to find the one that understands why we might keep this thing a little secret for, you know, a little extra time. Or she just knew me. She was just perfect. And she helped me figure out why I behave, whatever, with, you know, in certain ways, or what, how something, the trauma from back all those years has affected my behavior these days. So that was at about 60. I want to say I met her, maybe six, a little over. And I continued to see her. Then Corona hit. then I ended up coming back to New York. We were doing FaceTimes, of course. And I came home to Sam and Avi and the pups. And life really got good. You know, I took the things that I had learned over the years with her, applied them to Sam and me and to the outside world. And I don't know if I have my life together. You know, I don't know if I would ever say that because the diet thing is still a big issue with me. I'm still eating like, you know, I can still eat. And, but other than that, I feel like I've sort of gotten myself together.
First of all, why does it help us like understand why we are the way that we are to help us get move forward? Like, why is that a thing? I'm just wondering. I know that's obviously a key therapy mechanism. Why do you think that that is something that helps us move forward?
I can only explain it from my point of view. It helped me. I needed to know. Why do I get anxious every time I do so-and-so, you know? Well, I mean, it's because back in the past, you reacted in such a way or you were treated in such a way that you now anticipate an issue every time A sits in your lap, you know, or comes across your page. Mm-hmm. For me, it was just explanations of why I do things. Like a lot of my mother came out. My mother was my best friend. My mother was my everything. And truly personal, I have learned that my mother was kind of living through me, you know, which makes sense vicariously. You know, here she was.
That doesn't sound familiar at all.
There, I do not. I've gotten so much better, haven't I?
You got a little better, but you definitely.
Well, I think much of the older generation looks to the younger ones. Right. If they're interested, right. I'm interested. Right. You know,
sorry, I got you off track.
No, that's now get track. Me back on track.
Okay, you realize like that your mother lived through you,
right? Like yeah. She lived through me. She and we lived together. You know, we shopped, we ate, we schmoozed, we went to discos together. You know, it wasn't like, and a lot of that, I think, at some part of me, psychologically, I guess, it became a bit of a burden or guilt or something that just prevented me from moving forward. And
like being independent. Yeah. I think also just like you're saying that it took you until where you are now to really understand yourself or know yourself
fully.
So that's what like helps you move forward. And like, I am this way and with no judgment and compassion. And that lets me like sort of gain clarity about my life and my past. And so I can move forward with also a clear mind and be the independent person that you may or may not have thought you could be in the past.
Yes.
I feel like I realized that you didn't understand yourself.
Thank you.
Right. Because I had gone through my own therapy where I discovered that I didn't understand myself.
Right.
And then I saw that you had not reached that understanding.
Uh-huh. You were very helpful, Samantha. In a brutal way, you pointed out very honest things to me.
I think that is how I approach things.
Yes, that is you. Not on the light side.
No. And I think that's because I did not know how to like express it compassionately. But yeah. So like, what do you think now are like the things that kind of like keep you together and like, where do you want to go from here?
And what have you done that like is big changes in your life that you feel like are significant that you are like quote unquote on in progress of getting your shit together?
I finally found a home that I love. I finally found where I need to live. And coming to the city, Florida was a bust. However, it served its purpose. I needed to get it together. I needed to separate from all the trauma and all the past and transition into a different kind of life. You know, I lost my parents. I lost my kid. It's hard having no one, you know, I mean, Sam, I, adore, but you know, she can get sick of me too, you know? So it's hard not to have people. So going through that transition in Florida was beneficial, no doubt. The Greenvale pit stop was a little just like still lost, you know, don't know where to go. Coming into the city was home. It was basically home for me. I had spent my whole life here. My parents, my children, everything is in the city if it's not in Roslyn for me. So I'm happy. I can find
that's the city's motto. Everything's in the city if it's not in Roslyn.
It's gonna work. Wait till you see it on the side
De Blasio
of my
go.
Let's sell that one. Yeah, so I'm happy. I mean, I'm living alone, you know. Sam, yes, is on the other side of the park, but thank you God for that. I mean, that is just fun. But I feel better in myself. You know, I feel more comfortable. And the ability, I was thinking of one thing from earlier. After everybody died, when I was down in Florida.
Oh, God.
Oh, should I change that?
No, it's just like the way you say it. It's like after everybody died, like.
It's like that was a big demarcation in my life, you know.
Me too. That was like the only demarcation.
So how do we say it?
You said it?
I don't know. I guess that is the.
I mean, I used to say like when everybody went, but where'd they go? You know. All right.
I think it's okay to say it the way that you said it because it's the truth.
It's what
also
it is.
Ben, my father. That's also the demarcation for him.
Okay.
Being like out.
Yeah.
So
that's
yeah.
Let's just say it was a very big time. But what happened with me emotionally after the passings was. In grief, I became very hardened. I lost my ability to care about things. I didn't care about anything other than Sam. Basically, like everything just rolled off my back.
You cared about hating Trump. You were very mad about that all the time.
That was basically the passion that I had for the last 5 years. Everything was there. legit. But Yeah. So, I didn't care that I was sitting in traffic. I didn't care that, Sam, I've said it to you 100 times, like in my old days, I would be like freaking out over the traffic or freaking out over
Well, I also thought you didn't care about like meeting anybody new. You like didn't want to socialize. Like you just didn't want to deal with like talking to anybody, which I feel that way.
Anyway. Also because I can't. You know, I still wasn't 100% happy with myself, which I'm still not, but, you know.
Well, it's also like, what are you going to talk about? Like, you can't, it's hard to just kind of act like everything's, like, fine when in your head everything is, like, so far from fine.
Yes. Yes.
So it must have been, a feeling of relief or a feeling of, like, being slightly untethered to be able to move everywhere you wanted to do when you, like, sort of permanently separated from your husband. That must have been a feeling of like, I feel a little bit more free. I can think forward instead of back.
Oh, my God. I can't even tell you. It's just, I mean, the weight of the Empire State Building.
No, get into it.
No, I'm just like, I had the weight of, it was okay. So imagine we were living in my parents' house. My son was ill. My daughter was needy. Things were weighing heavily. My marriage was not good. I was constantly being attacked by him. And to free yourself of that is just miraculous. I mean, I had the weight of the world on my shoulders with all the emotional stuff going on, but that was just a breath of fresh air. It was like, and again, that's where the I didn't care thing helped, you know, because at that point, I didn't care about him. I did not care about how anybody felt. And yeah, big relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you do seem like more youthful, like the way that you're sitting on the chair. You seem lighter.
I just can't get comfortable.
You seem like more, I don't know, like just more free. So
yes. Totally. I completely see it. Like you'll spontaneously want to do something, which like you never did.
I know. Like,
yeah.
Joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre. Your joie de vivre has returned.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
I do want to ask about, like, what did Meryl do for you, your dog, Meryl? Like, what did the dogs do for you? Like, your friends, how did, like, that, how, like, what was it like to have? Because I know you've had friends for the same friends forever. Like, since, like, Aileen and I have a similar friendship where it's just, like, so long. Yeah. And, you know,
so long.
it's like we've, like, there's phases, like it's a real, it's like it becomes more like family than friends after a certain point. So yeah, I guess, like, those things.
Well, Meryl, you know, you were the one who encouraged me to get a dog. Another thing that I've been torn about is a dog. You know, Zachary always wanted a dog. He deserved a dog. A dog would have done wonders for him. But I just couldn't compound all the responsibility with a dog. I just, mm-hmm. So we ended up with cats by default. So after, again, everybody passed in Florida, Sam's like, you should get a dog. You should get a, go find a dog, adopt a dog. Rent a dog. You know, you need something. And one day, I occasionally would Google and look for one, but my heart wasn't fully into it. And then I'd be like, fuck it, not even think about it for a while. But I was in Ben's Delicatessen shopping center in Florida, and there is Palm Beach puppies staring at me. And I walked in, and the store had puppies in cribs. Okay, not cages. What is cuter than a puppy in a crib? So I walked to the back, and there's a Boston, and I'm like, I'm just stunned. She was too cute. She had, like, a little, her face, like, she would smile, you know? And
yeah, she smiles.
So cute.
Yeah.
And I played with her for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, Aileen, you're in. And I took her. And she
had. You got her on the day of our DST live show. I remember that.
July 31st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what has she done for you? What do you think that, because, like, you're obviously talking through, like, little steps that you took to get you to the place that you are now. So
many.
What do you think that she did?
She, first of all, if you know how much I talk to myself while I'm alone,
I don't
say you don't. I mean, Meryl, if she, God forbid, ever was able to talk, she'd tell you my mother never shuts up. So I talk to her. She's like my excuse to talk, you know? So I tell her stuff. She makes me laugh. I mean, I haven't literally laughed to my belly, and now I am, you know, for the past couple of years, but in a really long time.
We laughed at Four Seasons Total Landscaping for like a day.
That was the funniest.
I still laugh at that.
That's, same.
That's just fucking insane.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Giuliani lives up the block from me.
Oh,
I know. Really? Yeah, I walked by the other day, and
remember, he was our graduation speaker.
I do
commencement.
We were impressed. Yeah. Who knew?
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Shows you.
Okay. Well, back to the dog.
That's funny about Meryl. Streep will have that. Will have that effect on people.
She will. She is amazing. I mean, now she's like barking a little bit in the apartment. Now she's like that true responsible. You know, like I have people to answer to. But she's great. She's great. She keeps it light. She, you know, they say pet therapy is a great thing for people. All kinds of people.
It really is.
Yeah.
Whenever Sansa lays down next to me, I get very like grounded in like how I'm feeling.
Isn't it?
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do it for kids with special needs. They take them, you know, they do horse therapy. They do all kinds of therapy. It's interesting. What was the other part of the question, yeah. Sam?
Like about your friendships, about like how to keep friends for your whole life and like what, like that must have been pretty grounding that you had. It's not like you had to like make new friends, which I think a lot of older yeah. people do.
Yes.
And that's like scary. If they move. Yeah. So how did that play in? Like how have you? Yeah.
Well, first of all, my father was the person who had friends since he was in kindergarten. And he passed at, 87, and still those friends were at his funeral. So it's in my genes. And I'm fortunate because more trauma in fifth grade is when I had moved from Brooklyn to Roslyn. And
so did Aileen.
Oh, me too. Not from Brooklyn, yeah. but to Roslyn, fifth grade.
That's so funny. So that's kind of late to be starting in an elementary school. So again, here I am, the girl who suffered trauma, and the little pudgy girl is going into sixth grade. And it was weird. Everybody had friends. These kids all grew up together. And here I am coming in, and people were not warm and fuzzy. And one of the girls who was particularly mean to me in sixth grade is my best friend to this day. And I cherish that. You know, I feel like these are people who truly love me. They've been through everything with me. They've supported me. They have listened to my nonsense. And just, I am so blessed to have these women in my life.
So you're saying that even through all of this like trauma and change, your friends being like a stable, and obviously Sammy, it's weird to say Sam, is like sort of acts as like a stability or like an anchor or like a security for you and allows you to sort of move forward.
Fully. Without them, I don't know where I'd be.
Female friendships, man. It's great.
They are the absolute best. Cannot argue.
Well, I have a question because I feel like, I mean, a lot of people definitely like write in about like making friends and like maintaining friendships and like when is it, you know, not a good friend or whatever. How, because I know you've been through like phases with all of these people, like they've all had something like mm-hmm. where you didn't talk to them for a little bit or like there was something. That's how did you get past those moments? Because like you've had them with like almost, I feel like, everybody.
Well, don't make it like I've had them.
No, it's not your. No, but like they, like your friends have gone through their own things, yes. and you know, getting sober or like just various things.
It's
so
life, you know, life yeah. happens, and it's difficult. How did I get through? I mean, I remember 10 years ago or so, one of my friends was like really mad. She felt that I had betrayed her, and I begged and I explained and she was just not having any of it. And you persevere, you know, these people are just so worth it that, other than your parents, who knows you that well from way back then, you know, it's a gift. It is a gift, especially at this age when people remember things and my memory is So it's a gift to hear like, oh, you remember when we went to the beach and you got all burned and you look like a lobster or whatever it was, you know, but it's a gift.
I mean, my friends still say that about me. So
there you go. And that's that's the fun of it, to like be able to flash back with people. It's very meaningful.
Right. Is there anything that you have on your like now bucket list of independence? Are you thinking about dating?
It's funny, I'm not. I can't even, I don't know. I can't go there yet. I'm look, I really basically, and you better erase this, like, do not let this on the tape. I really just grew up, if you want to know the truth.
No, this should be on the tape. Let it on the tape. That's what this, yeah. The tape, the VHS.
It's on the VHS, right. Excuse me.
No, I feel like we should keep that in.
Yeah, what do you mean? That's the whole episode.
I know, but it's so hard to admit to strangers.
But that's okay because, okay, here's the thing. At least you can admit it. I know a lot of people who can't admit it, and it is still, it doesn't make it any less the case.
And just there's no they can't such thing it. As too late. Like, I think that's the beauty of the lesson that you're sharing. Like, I know a woman like who got married at like 78.
Wow.
Like,
oh my God. So,
and is happy though. It doesn't matter. I just mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I would have a companion. I wouldn't. What's the point of getting married?
Okay, well, look, like legalities aside, like
I have a few thoughts on what the point is.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in another episode.
Yeah,
we'll check in 6 months and see how I've done.
I just mean that, like, if you're like you never stop prioritizing your own happiness. It's like there's no like end point. There's no like it's too late. Like, so that's all I'm saying is, but so what do you have on your to-do list?
Well, just let me go back to the it's not too late.
Okay.
Okay. It's not. I could have, if I allowed myself, huge regret. I could say, Eileen, what took you to 63? You know, like you wasted all of this time. I seriously feel like I've wasted much of my time waiting for something to change, waiting for something better, waiting for something to come, you know, just waiting. And if you can get it together earlier, because now I feel like I'm sort of happy, you know, I can actually say those words and I feel like, but I'm 63, how much, you know, how much of that can I really have, you know, and I want it another 63 years so that I can have it, you know, I can enjoy what I've
missed. It's okay if it's, but I think you can have that all crammed into now.
I intend like, to.
Now you know. Some people go their whole lives without understanding what, like, a good relationship is. Like, they will go their whole lives without
I'm
that.
I'm still so in you my can whole start... life. I don't know what a good relationship right. is.
I think you know what a bad relationship is now.
But that's not a good one. I want to
know.
No, but,
at least but you, something know, you know you're not going to get into no. something where the person treats you like that for endless time.
Right.
Like you just wouldn't even start.
Yeah.
I would also say that's not a waste either. That like learning it was a that lesson.
Exactly. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
are we signing you up for a dating app or no?
No, but I do want to say one more thing.
Can we set you up?
And through all of this, maybe we'll talk about it. Wait till my face gets back to somewhat normal.
She went to Shari Marchbine and is having a major treatment now.
I love it.
Now we have the same dermatologist. Same really, dog.
I have the same gyno as my mom, yeah. So it's fine.
Yeah. As long as your mom is not your gyno, so that's okay.
Yeah. But she did give me an exam.
That's what moms are for. There you go. I was thinking that as together, and I mean, happy again, I'm saying I'm happy. There's one thing that has not improved, and that is my eating, you know, fully. Like I can't, you know, there have been times in my life as all everybody else have been, you know, conscious and, you know, I don't want to say good, but eating what benefits their body.
Well, what's your goal with it? Like, what are you saying when you're saying it's not right?
I want to be healthy. I know in my head, as we all do, that boxes of cookies and pretzels and pizza and whatever I feel like eating, because my intuition, which I have none, tells me to, is not right. I just know it's not right.
But it's not right because of the restriction was his point.
I understand that. But look at me. I've not restricted and I've gained a lot of weight. So it's not even gaining the weight. It's the discomfort. I don't like bending over and my underwear slide, you know, my underwear rolls down. I don't like that. I don't like putting on jeans and I can't breathe when the button's buttoned.
You could get bigger size.
And I do. And I have. If you saw all the elastic waistband pants I have in my closet, you could scream. I went like every jogger from every company. So there's that has not changed. I cannot get that fully together in my head. I can go through periods, longer periods. I know what's healthy.
But what's the goal? To never eat a cookie again?
No, I want goal? To not have to eat a bag when I open it.
So not binge.
The bag. Okay. I have this compulsion to just like, once it's open, I got to eat it.
Okay. I have that. Yeah. You want to know what the trick is with that?
Yeah.
Buy two bags. And then I'm like, no. No, mom, yeah. I promise you, it's having the extra bag that helps you feel, you gotta trust me. Having the extra bag feels like you don't need to get to the end because you're not actually at the end, even when you finish the bag. So it actually helps you only like have a little bit of the first bag.
Well, I see you guys do keep a lot of stuff in the house and it stays there and that, you know, it does not go fast. I don't know if it's for living alone. I'll try the second bag. If I eat it, I'll kill you. But I'll try.
You can also try to focus on
I do.
The satisfaction of it.
Yeah.
Aileen, I try and sometimes it works.
Sometimes it works. Some foods are meant to be like consumed by the whole because of the way that they're made.
Right.
Like addictive. Like I bought the healthy Siete chips and I was dipping them in hummus, healthy snack. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I can't stop this right now. Not because I wasn't feeling very emotional, like in my eating or anything. I was just like, they're so salty and delicious that you just, they're sort of
the crunch.
Made that way. So I wouldn't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the one place that I can't even touch getting it together. But
well, maybe we have a few steps. We have like some dating setups. We could work on our intuitive eating. You know, we could be more active, which I think we have been being.
Yes,
right?
I've been walking. Me and Meryl, man, we're conquering the city.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. She loves it.
So maybe next Mother's Day episode we could talk about like some eating, intuitive eating progress or something. This has been great. Yeah.
Or just helping with your, if you're saying binging is the spot that you want to like get better with, like maybe intuitive eating is not the answer for you. Maybe it's something else.
Again, no intuition in that department. You know,
maybe that's what you got to get in touch with though, because you feel like it doesn't exist.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you've been pushing it down for so long. Now you're finally being intuitive with what you want in your life. Maybe there's room for you to be intuitive with what you like to eat.
I will consider that.
Yeah.
We shall revisit this lady in 5 pounds, up or down.
We're not measuring it by the pounds.
I have not gone on the scale in two houses. Yeah. Since I got here.
Two weight losses, two houses.
I love how you measure my life things. Now. Yeah. Because there's that's so great. Much of it. You know, these are, you know. Right. Anyway.
Well, I think like that too.
I love you guys.
Well, this has been like a really fun, I really hope for you.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for anybody who's listening, who's maybe moms are in the same place as you about how they can help their moms? Or were in the same place as you, who can help their moms, you know, push them to be in this place that you're in now or going towards now?
Again, therapy, and you need to find the right one. You need to find the person who lets you feel free enough to tell them the really embarrassing stuff that you've done, who can help you understand. My way of understanding was facts. You give me facts and I get it. Somebody else is, maybe you need somebody who's super empathetic and understands how or why. And it's a job. Finding the right therapist is so not.
Yeah, not to give up.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know, give them a fair amount of time. Funny, the first therapist I went to probably like 10 years ago already, I went to her with a list of born on September 11th. brother born, you know, whatever, you know, brother diagnosed, son diagnosed, just a list of all timeline. The trauma. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get to the point. Like, I didn't want to, you know, waste time. I wanted her to know where I'm coming from. And that's a help, you know, explaining and getting to the point, because really that's what it is. And stick with it. It's just, I never thought I would feel, and believe me, I'm not 100% happy, but I have to tell you, I never really, really thought that I could ever tell people that I'm happy. And it's a first.
Well, that's a feat, a fight in itself.
It is.
Yeah. You're pursuing happiness.
Pursuing happiness. I mean, I'd like to travel. That would be amazing. Again, in my position, I don't really have many people to travel with. You know, it's kind of, and I'm not the gal who joins on a guided tour. You know, that's just not me. I need, you know, I need a friend.
So you need me.
I do need you. Help me. You take me to Spain.
Take me to Spain.
Yeah, she now wants to go to Spain. I'm down. Like, although I told you, I think I'd rather go to Portugal.
I'll go to Portugal. I'll go to Syria. Just take me. No, kidding. Go to Syria. I'm kidding. But yes, I would like to travel. I want to see the city again. I mean, you know, I want to like get out there and walk to Soho. That was my plan when I got here. I have yet to do it. I haven't
you could do
more,
it.
I know I could. I haven't walked more than 20 blocks yet. So there's that. But
that's so good.
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to go places is really the main thing. I want to laugh. I want to be with my family, the very little I have left, my friends, my pop. I want what I missed out in 60 years.
That's a good bucket list.
I love that.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Eileen. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks for sharing and being vulnerable.
I love you guys. Thank you for having me. We love you. That's so great.
Thank you again, Eileen. Happy Mother's Day to everybody who's listening, who's a mom, and happy Mother's Day to your moms and your mom's moms and everyone in between. And please, everyone, go rate, review, subscribe, tell all of your moms about our show. We're changing our demo. And email us, dst@betches.com. Follow all of us. I'm at Eileen. Sammy's at Sammy. We're at Diet Starts Tomorrow. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Betches.